Mark is a former FBI agent. He is the author of a new book. Mark, all my computer stuff is down here, so introduce your book, please. Thank you.
No problem. It's good to meet you, Chuck. The book is called The Pretender, My Life Undercover for the FBI. And what it is, it's more than just a My Best Cases book. It's also an insider's look at FBI culture, FBI management, and how decisions are made within the FBI. You know, there have been other books like Ronald Kessler's written about how the FBI functions, but they were written by outsiders. My book is the first one written by an insider, an expose, if you will.
And it gives a great account of how you personally, over a 20-year career, were able to go undercover in some extraordinary cases and really take on different identities. It's a great read, and it's a great lesson for anyone who is, who's thinking about dealing in situations where they may not want to be seen, or they may want to be seen in a certain way at a certain time, that kind of thing. But I want to ask you, I feel incumbent on asking you your opinion about some recent developments in the FBI, because it seems to me that while the FBI has always had a political component to it, most likely going back to the days of J. Edgar Hoover, all the way back to when he was first appointed on the Wilson administration, it seems to have accelerated in its political nature in the past maybe 10, 15, 20 years. I think with the appointment of Bob Mueller, who was not an FBI agent, but who was more of a political figure, and that followed by the appointment of James Comey as directors of the FBI, it seems to me, based upon just a casual outside look at the news, that the FBI became very politicized to the degree that there is now evidence that FBI agents, particularly Peter Strzok and FBI lawyer Lisa Page, of whom he was having an affair, got very involved in political activities, at least according to what I'm reading in the paper, that are above and beyond what the FBI should be doing, and that get into some real serious questions of legality, whether the FBI is being used almost like the Cheka of the Soviet times or the Gestapo, where it's basically at the behest of a government to go after political enemies. And in this case, the enemy perceived was candidate and then president Donald Trump. Do you think that this is something that is a problem with the FBI? Have they become politicized to the point where they're going after citizens who are not, shall we say, favorable to any given administration?
Well, first, let me start by saying that your question covers a lot of ground. And so it's going to let me cover some of the points that you made. I would question I think there's a real question as to whether the FBI has been political all along. Whatever Hoover's, whatever legitimate criticism can be made of Hoover, he did create in the FBI a very objective and independent federal law enforcement authority capable of investigating political corruption both on the right and on the left. And
yes,
did he abuse his power? Did he maintain files on people who were his enemies, let's say, or whom he viewed as a threat? That he may have done, and that would constitute an abuse of power. However, I do not think that Hoover was political in the sense that he allowed the Bureau to be used for political purposes. And he understood, as most FBI agents understand, the very significant import of having a really independent federal law enforcement authority for a democracy to function. If it can be influenced to political ends, then it will not function as an arm of democracy defending the Constitution, but rather as a political tool. I started in the FBI in 1985 and worked under many directors. And my experience during my time at the Bureau, which ended in 2012, when before Comey was appointed, was always that we were able to conduct investigations which were objective and independent. And I never, I worked on a public corruption squad for many years doing undercover work, and we investigated Republicans and Democrats. There was no favoritism. Mm-hmm. Now, getting to the present, I think that you're right. I think that legitimate argument can be made that the FBI has been politicized. I would argue that it started with the appointment of Director Comey. Now, did it happen under the prior director, under Director Mueller? I don't know. Perhaps it did, perhaps it didn't, but I didn't see personally any evidence of it. However, it certainly does appear that in the past couple of years, starting with the, among others, I guess, with the investigation into the Hillary Clinton servers and so forth, a legitimate argument can be made that decisions made by Comey appeared to be less than objective and can be criticized from the right and from the left. Because when he decided, the one thing he did, which was highly unusual, was when he made the statement, the public statement, that Hillary Clinton would not be prosecuted. Now, in my nearly three decades in the FBI, I never saw a statement coming from the FBI that someone, any subject, was going to be prosecuted or not prosecuted. That's a decision that's made by the Justice Department. The FBI's job is to investigate, find facts, find evidence, make a nice, neat package out of it, and turn it over to the Justice Department. The Justice Department then makes the decision as to whether to present it to a grand jury, whether to decline prosecution. And in this case, there was a break with tradition. I suspect that Attorney General Lynch had been so discredited, in part from her meeting with former President Clinton on the tarmac there, that had she made the announcement, no one would have, it would have been clearly perceived by much of the public as being politically tainted. So I suspect that Comey was kind of pressured by the White House to take it on himself and make the announcement.
Well, it's also come out that Peter Strzok was involved in crafting the document that Comey read. And that he was the one that kind of phased in some of the language that would indicate that she'd be accused of gross negligence as opposed to something that might rise to a criminal level. And then it goes on to evidence that FBI Director Comey and others were involved in applying for the FISA permission to spy on Carter Page and other members of the Trump campaign using this phony dossier that they did not verify and that they did not check out, and that there's a possibility that they might have misrepresented to the FISA judges.
The more we learn, the more it appears that there was decision-making being made with political motivations. You know, what we just talked about, I just mentioned with the release, the statement by Director Comey in July about not pursuing the prosecution of Hillary Clinton. And you're right, the language was changed from gross negligence or reckless indifference, which would be criminal in nature, to extreme carelessness, which is not criminal. So it was downgraded by Strzok, and presumably he was doing it not completely independently. One of the things that's curious about Strzok is that he's been referred to often as a special agent, as though he was just some errand boy or low level fellow, when he was actually a deputy assistant director. He was a very high-level official at the very top and a member of the executive suite. So any texts that he was involved with are texts from an important high-level upper management official, not just a quote-unquote special agent, but rather someone at a high level. Then later on, Comey released the emails, additional emails just before the election, and then was criticized from the left. So he ended up earning criticism from the left and from the right. And then when he testified that he had disclosed memorandum to a had leaked them, you know, that is really shocking. I mean, what were how can a director of the FBI be disclosing official documents? That definitely so there's a lot that was going on that was in certainly has the appearance of impropriety and hardly passes the smell test. And one encouraging development is that the Inspector General now, Horowitz, is conducting an internal investigation. And from all indicia at this point, it appears that he's doing it in an objective and fair manner.
Okay. Well, that's good news. And, you know, it's just, again, it looks highly political to me, and that's troubling in a free society. It's also disturbing to me that the FBI, and I only could give one example, but that it almost has taken on certain powers that really are not appropriate for an agency that's supposed to be under the auspices of the Congress and of the Justice Department, in that right after the bombing here in Boston at the Boston Marathon, Congressman Stephen Lynch, Democrat from South Boston, who happens to be the congressman of that district where the bombs went off, he asked the FBI for information about their research in advance and the fact that these Sarnaev brothers, they had been alerted by a Russian agency that these guys were terrorists and they did nothing. And there's some other things that were troubling. And he was told by the FBI director at the time, I don't know if it was Mueller or whoever was there in 2011, he was told that he would not get those documents. Now, to me, the fact that the FBI would tell a sitting congressman that he can't have documents, I mean, I would think that that FBI director should have been taken away in shackles for that. I mean, that's, you know, this is the Congress is our government. That's the most powerful office in the land. They're elected to represent us. The FBI has to answer to the Congress. If they're not, then they're a rogue agency. I mean, how can that be that they would tell Congressman Lynch, no, you can't have access to this information?
Well, yeah, I have to, you know, to say that, first of all, I'm not familiar with the details that you've just, you know, discussed. I mean, taking them as what you've, as you at face value, I would, my reaction would be initially that the disclosure of information concerning an ongoing investigation has to be done through, you know, certain procedures. Certainly, information should not be withheld if it's information that is that the public needs to know at that point. But I mean, keep in mind with a lot of, I mean, in some cases in public corruption investigations have been targeting corrupt congressmen. So the in a situation like what you're talking about, perhaps if it was done through the intermediary, let's say through judicial intermediary, to review data to make sure that it's information that can be disclosed at this time with other such manner, because often, you know, disclosing information to is announcing, you know, 11 o'clock noon. So,
right.
Politician later. So, yes, there are servants, but so are the officials at the FBI, and so are the members of the judiciary. And it's because we have this tripartite balance of powers that the democracy can function effectively. So, I wouldn't just say that just because a congressman demands something, they should automatically get it. I mean, imagine an abscam, with the very targets. You wouldn't want them having access to that information.
No, that's right. Although I think that in this case, it was a very reasonable request. I mean, it's not, I think that it was the FBI, the shoe was on the other foot, in that the FBI was caught in a very, I guess you might say, to put it mildly, an embarrassing situation with regard to the bombers and the fact that they had advanced knowledge of who these people were. And that also leads me to a question about undercover work, because, and I'm going to give this one case, and that is that the FBI was following these two guys who they had identified as jihadists, as Islamic terrorists, and they followed them right up to the point where they were they entered into a sort of a convention where they intended to behead Pamela Geller, who was a local activist here in New York. And the FBI director, the FBI agent, did nothing to stop him. I mean, he went right up in there, and eventually he was stopped by local police. But it just, this was actually done on 60 Minutes. They showed this, and there were other cases of that as well. I mean, I think the first World Trade Center bomber was under investigation by the FBI, an undercover agent, who actually, he didn't participate in the bombing, but he really did nothing to stop it right up to the point where the bombs did go off. Is this bad work on the part of undercover agents, or is this a matter of the rules of engagement with regard to investigating? I mean, at what point do you blow the whistle and stop something from happening before it happens?
Here we're talking about three different investigative techniques. One is using an undercover agent. One is using surveillance agents, and the other one is using confidential sources or confidential witnesses. So in the case of the First World Trade Center, it was not an undercover agent. It was an informant. It was and working with informants, and this one apparently was particularly difficult to work with. I mean, I don't know if you recall, but he was actually taping the conversations that he was having with the FBI agents who were supposed to be his control agents. And he had been a military official previously in Egypt and a high level officer, and was not used to taking orders from anybody. And I think, again, I didn't participate in that case, but from what I heard, he was not a very easy informant to manage or to control. So that can complicate an investigation greatly. And in many of these terrorist investigations, where you need someone, for example, who may have a fluency in Arabic, and which he did, and familiarity with the culture, some of the informants are not the ideal people that you would ordinarily pick. But sometimes, because of the exigencies of the case, you have to deal with who you have to deal with. And in the other one, where you have a surveillance team, which is what I think the way you describe it, following someone who entered a mosque, then you have, like you're saying, you have certain rules of engagement, some of which may have been dictated by pressures of political correctness or what have you, in terms of what the surveillance agents are allowed or capable of conducting. So sometimes there are factors which will limit what the investigators can do, which are out of their hands, may come from a higher source.